RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Time for another Tech Tuesday here at RCR. Stephen Sykes back with me. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. Looking forward to hearing some tech news and focusing on, I think, loyalty cards, you said last ep. Is that
yes.
right?
Yes. Loyalty in inverted commas.
Okay, so maybe not so loyal.
Well, if you've got a loyalty card for that supermarket, this coffee shop, that coffee shop, what's the definition of loyalty then?
Yeah, very good point. All right. Well, hopefully you can tell us or give us some clues. It's like the meaning of the word has changed, right?
Yep.
All right.
Whose dictionary are you reading from?
Yeah, AI dictionary. We'll get on to some AI news shortly too, but we'd like to start with some feedback from the Tech Tuesday crew, team, listening team. Who's been in contact this week, Stephen?
So following up from somebody's feedback from the other week, they gave a URL to Tucker Carlson, who interviewed Eric Prince, and he during that interview he talked about the unplugged phone. So I had a look into it, and it does have one or two useful qualities, like the power switch is an actual power switch where the battery gets separated from the rest of the phone. So it's the equivalent to yanking out the battery. And you can enter in a specific unlock code, which will erase the phone. So if you're asked to hand it over to somebody that you don't want to give it to.
That's clever.
But that's kind of where the coolness probably stops a little bit, because, I mean, it's $989. So if you want one, it's plus GST and plus shipping. And then given that I can't find any evidence that the software they've created is actually free open source, so that means it's like they've created a black box and they're asking us to trust them with something we can't read and verify.
Yeah.
And it's based upon Android, because they wouldn't create their own operating system from scratch, because that's like thousands, well, probably millions of man hours worth. And even though they've made their own phone, that'll be using existing off-the-shelf chips. And the fact that it still talks to cell towers, even though you can do certain encrypted communications across it, it's not as private as it might seem to be.
Okay.
But it's a good effort. It's a good effort. But you can sort of achieve the same thing with or close to the same thing with either a de-Google phone or was it a Prism phone made by Libra OS? They do a similar thing with. I've got physical switches. We can physically turn off the Wi-Fi with a mechanical switch.
Yeah. I like it's the old style power switch. It actually disconnects it from the power.
Yeah.
Wow. Who'd have thought? I think people have an impression that that's what, when they're turning the power off, that's what's happening, but that's not what's happening.
No, it's a programmable button is what it is.
Yeah. So it just puts it into some kind of slumber mode or.
Yeah, like a super deep sleep.
Yeah, but ready to wake up at any time. All right, so there's that. What else? Who else have we heard from?
So somebody has postulated, if one Bitcoin transaction uses one swimming pool of water, how much will a CBDC system use?
Yeah. Have they got their wires crossed a bit there? Because we're talking about mining the Bitcoin.
No. That was a Bitcoin transaction.
Transaction. That's right. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. How many transactions using CBDCs? Trillions.
How many swimming pools per transaction is a CBDC system going to be consuming is the question he's asking. And that's a great question. I don't know the answer.
Someone can do the math on that.
Somebody probably will do the math on that.
Here's a challenge to one of our listeners or more. If you have a maths bent, work that out and come back with an answer, and we'll give the answer if it comes back.
Yeah.
Well, what else?
Okay. Linda says that about the Maybelline makeup that I mentioned, she says it has, 70 or 90 identified points on a face. My instant thought was, what does that tell us about facial recognition? Wouldn't use it for several hundred million dollars. Always enjoyed your show, Linda. That's an app on Teams that while you can choose to use it, beware of other systems which are doing it all the time.
Yeah.
Like when you walk into certain supermarkets in the North Island.
Exactly. I'd do it for a few hundred million.
Once.
Yeah, well, that's all you need.
Well, exactly. You go buy your own island and then live off coconuts and bananas for the rest of your life. And
yeah. And they're saying, where did that guy go? He just disappeared. Yeah. All right. Carry on.
Okay. Beth says that she's still got some 3.5-inch hard drives and also some iAmiga zip drives too with 4 original discs. I've still got some floppy discs, 3.5-inch ones, still in the original packaging, vacuum sealed.
Oh, a collector's item.
Must be.
Okay, and any other incoming?
Yes. So a couple have asked, thank you for the great work you do. I think Paul had a tech guy on the other day. He said, what were the safest platforms? We've set up another local community, close-knit group on Signal for hard times ahead. Do you think that is safe? There are a lot of awake people on the Coromandel, and we had about 30 come to our meeting who live in closest proximity. So my take on that is Signal as a technology, yes, I would call that safe. But it's how you use it is what counts, because originally Signal used phone numbers as a form. Well, it still does use phone numbers as a form of ID. But what you tended to do was share your phone number with other people, and that's how you'd connect up. The trouble with that, and if you're still using phone numbers to connect via Signal, is that people put that into their phone, which goes into their contact list, which by default will automatically synchronize with Google and Apple and the likes.
Okay, so that gives away the game, doesn't it?
So instead of the phone numbers, you create for yourself now an ID on Signal, and you connect up that way. That way you're not exchanging phone numbers with each other. And the metadata of phone numbers is not being stored in everyone's phone. The other problem that you have coming down the tunnel like a freight train is people with newer phones who have an AI analysis on them that goes and checks for, assuming that everybody is up to no good and checking their photos and all that kind of stuff and doing the real-time scanning of devices before it gets transmitted, even though encrypted. All you need is a single person in that group to be having one of these phones, to be doing the analysis on what that person's doing to compromise the entire group.
Oh, okay. Gee.
So get a de-Googled phone or make sure you avoid the really, really new ones that have AI and neural processing unit chips in them, because that's what will end up being the default pretty soon.
So if you're going to buy a new phone, do a bit of research.
Well, if you're going to buy a new phone,
Well, they all bundled with this now.
Yes, new ones do, and it's just something sitting in the background waiting to be turned on where phones can be scanned for goodness knows whatever, and the phone will literally phone home with the results of a scan.
Okay. All right. Are we through the emails yet and texts?
Just one thing that I'll cover probably a little bit in more detail next time. Somebody was asking about photo organizing systems and deduplication of photographs.
Deduplication?
Yeah, so if you've got a photo file stored in one place and then somehow you have a copy of the same thing in another place, then that's one photo being stored multiple times, taking up space. So the idea is like, find all your duplicates and just get rid of all of them except for one.
Okay, yeah.
Is what that's about.
Understand. Do we move to the news now?
We go to the news.
What do you want to start with? There's a few items.
Yeah, so SoftBank, who is the Japanese version of 1NZ, have now got plans to cancel out angry customer voices using AI. So,
you imagine what they sound like in Japan too, you know, angry voice, like some mad Japanese soldier or something calling up.
Well, it doesn't matter what language a person's speaking, and you can typically tell when someone's upset about something. But in their project, they've got an AI model which can alter the tone and pitch of a customer's voice in real time during a phone call.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding.
It sound like some sort of, hello, just got a little complaint. Is that what they'll make it sound like?
Yeah, well, apparently.
And the original is, you effing man.
I am displeased with your commitment to customer satisfaction.
Yeah.
Is what it actually translates to.
This is snowflakery at work.
Yes, it's supposed to combat angry customers, is what that's supposed to be for.
Well, how would they know that they're being, you know, their call is being altered to be more acceptable and presentable to whoever's taking the call? Presumably someone's on the other end of the line, like a customer service person or something, who would normally take the hit from the rant. Hey.
Well, whether or not their software actually tells the person at the call center that the customer is actually being angry, even if what they're listening to is being converted into a box of fluffy kittens or not.
Yeah, sort of rank it, you know, give it a score.
Yes, exactly.
10 on the angry scale.
Yes, exactly.
Man. Gosh, what sort of cotton wool world is this going to be? End up being, I don't know.
It's all about choices.
Yeah, I don't mind someone having a big yell at me. Yeah, I just hold the phone out. Yeah, all right, okay. Yeah, you finished now? Oh, you got some more to go. All right, you know.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else? Well, there is more. What's next?
There is more. So, as reported by the New Zealand Herald, that a man was arrested for stealing passengers' data from free Wi-Fi during flights.
Oh.
So this was a guy in Australia, a 42-year-old fellow from Perth, 9 charges for alleged cybercrime offences. So what he did was, and this is not a new crime by any stretch of the imagination, he created a fake Wi-Fi, should I say, a twin, a copy of an existing wireless access point that people could go and connect to. And then when they did that, it asked for authentication, and people authenticated to that using a Facebook or a Google ID to log in with. Mm-hmm. And as people did that, because it was actually a fake setup, it actually stole their credentials.
It's quite a smart thing to do, isn't it, really?
Yeah. That's why you just don't trust public Wi-Fi, period, because you have no idea what it really, you know, what it really is, what you're looking at.
That's kind of evil genius behavior.
It is. And you should always use a VPN the entire time anyway, so that even if you were to try to connect to public Wi-Fi, then hopefully your data should go down the encrypted VPN tunnel.
You would hope.
And if you're not sure, go and ask someone, like, is this wireless access point supposed to be doing this? Is it supposed to be asking for my Facebook and Google, et cetera, credentials? And if you're just joining to an access point, then you really just need a password.
Yeah, which they usually supply.
And what I have seen in some places is that you get time limited or data limited. So, like, maybe it's X number of megabytes within a 24-hour period.
Yeah. All right. Do we have any idea what data was pilfered from the poor people who connected up to his bogus Wi-Fi? you got to laugh. I wonder what he got. Can you go into any device and sort of just pull stuff out? Can you, when you've got that sort of access?
Well, if they're connecting to an open wireless access point and then they're typing in their credentials to a fake-looking login page, which is then taking those keyboard inputs, then you've just handed over an email address, potentially a password.
And if you made a purchase through that, is it actually connecting you with, you know, the internet or whatever? So you're actually being connected with something?
It could be, but...
Or is it just like, you know...
The key takeaway is that by stealing an email address and password, usually most people, I think, use the same password for their email as they do when they log into other things.
Chances are, yep.
So the chances are, like, if you've logged in with a Facebook account, then boom, they've just taken over social media there for you and everything else that's connected to. And if it's a Gmail account or something like that, then they've got access to your email and goodness knows what you've got that connected to as well.
Oh, gosh, what a nightmare.
So this is why this is actually a lot. This is actually pretty serious.
Yeah. And what punishment did this chap receive? Do we know?
He faces 9 charges in relation to the cybercrime offences. And he was released on the 28th of June on a $20,000 bail.
Okay, so it's reasonably serious.
Along with surrendering his passport.
Okay, so he can't flick off.
But all right. It's not finalised because he's due back in court in August.
Okay, what else have we got in the news?
So Edward Snowden has said that OpenAI has just performed a calculated betrayal of the rights of every person on Earth and continues to say they've gone full mask off. Do not ever trust OpenAI or its products. And that is because that OpenAI, which if you're not too sure, they created ChatGPT.
Yep.
They have appointed the retired U.S. Army general and former NSA director Paul Nakasone, who has helped the military's cybersecurity-focused Cyber Command unit, onto its board. So not everyone...
I wonder why they would do that, eh?
I wonder why they would do that.
Yes, I think I've heard of that chap before.
Yes. So as Edward Snowden says, there's only one reason for appointing an NSA director to a board like that.
Yep. They keep on doing this, but they do it in plain sight without any shame.
They do, but not everyone's watching.
Yeah.
And if you are looking the other way, you know, it's sleight of hand, right? You're being distracted over here while something else is going on over there.
Yeah. Snowden, he's based in Russia still, isn't he?
As far as I know. And it's interesting that with respect to where he is, a lot of people said he was a traitor, but actually, because he's gone to Russia from the USA, but actually he was offered asylum in multiple countries.
Yeah, he chose Russia.
Well, it was more that... the USA put pressure on all those other countries, and yep. So the doors closed, and good luck trying to convince the Russians to listen to what the USA say. So that ended up being the only place to go to.
You see, last week at the NATO summit, Joe Biden introduced Zelensky as President Putin. He said, "Hey, man, welcome to the president of Ukraine," which he's not, because his term's finished, so that's a lie. "Of Ukraine, President Putin." How do you think that went down?
Up a cold sick.
They're used to it now, anyway, aren't they? They'll be surprised if he got it right. Actually, they'll be like, "Wow, he got it right." Okay. What else have we got? Oh, this looks interesting. Experts warn of AI industry collapse? Really?
Yeah, so this is horribly comes under the category of history repeating itself, because back in the 1990s, we had the dot-com bubble, and, of course, that burst. And the reason that came about was because the internet started growing and there was a whole lot of speculation. Growth was rapid. And interest rates were low at the time and made it easier for companies to access capital. And it was a whole lot of speculation. And now certain people are making a comparison between that and AI, particularly around the fact that it hallucinates a whole lot, as people will have seen, you know, weird imagery that it comes up with, making wild accusations like
six fingers
and putting glue on a pizza and other stupid things like that. So if it's going to make that kind of advice, then it completely loses its usefulness. So people are starting to make a comparison with that with AI, and some people feel that it hasn't even started yet. But when it pops, it'll be, you know, it'll be a mess again.
Yeah,
particularly if it can't be trusted.
It's a bit of a gold rush mentality at the moment towards it. But doesn't AI learn?
Sort of. I mean, it's based upon, you know, the inputs that it's given, and the reason that AI can be good is because of the fact that we feed it data, and of course the biases that it comes or that it can generate are actually based upon already existing biases that we as humans have that we may not be conscious of. And when we talked about AI ages ago, there was the example of Amazon, who later on discovered that they were only ended up hiring certain types of people, and they were the kinds of people that ended up succeeding in the company. And so that was actually revealing a culture that already existed. The AI was simply showing it to themselves.
Yeah. But who would have told AI that people can have six fingers?
Yeah. Could do with some spit and polish there, I think.
Yeah. Surely that one is going to be sorted out pretty quick. Okay, I think we're through the news now, aren't we?
Here we are. So we'll talk about loyalty cards. Our listener had a few weeks ago had asked if we could look at Tech Tuesday sometime. I can't give credit to the person who came up with this idea because there doesn't seem to be one associated. But this person wrote in to say that, you know, ones like the New World Club card or the Woolworths card. I had been using the New World Club card, but for a $400 spend, you get about $8 off and maybe $1.50 of Air New Zealand dollars, which is nothing considering you're giving up your data about what you buy, eat, etc. What do they do with that data? Well, actually, a little while ago, and when I say that, I mean like three or four short years ago, even sooner, Consumer New Zealand did reports on this. And like, why stop at supermarkets? You just look at loyalty cards, period. So the other day, and I'm not picking on them in particular, but I went into Robert Harris, and on the table there, they've got a QR code where you can join their coffee stamp program. So doing what I do, I always check the content of a QR code before blindly opening it, and it was just simply a URL to sign up with. Okay, no problem. So then I do what no one else does, and or not many people do, and that is read their privacy policy. So if you're into interesting reading, this might be
interesting reading. Okay,
it might tick that box. So when you go and use their coffee stamp system, you know, they've got a little wee tablet up by the counter where you can authenticate to log into.
Yeah, I've done that before. Yep.
Yeah, but it's not actually created by Robert Harris. As far as I can tell, it's created by Custom Base, which I think is a Palmerston North company, who, interestingly, their technical contact on the website domain is the Todd Corporation.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Anywho, so in their policy, it says, we are collecting your data for two reasons, although they list three. And that third one is interesting, to maintain a COVID-19 guest register.
What?
That's what it says. And if you look down a little bit further, it says there's a section that says understanding the use of your physical address. And the first bullet point says, we, including participating stores, have no use for your physical address. Collection of your physical address is a new initiative in response to the coronavirus outbreak and government guest register requirements. And then they go down further to say that the contents of the guest register will only be shared with New Zealand government agencies if requested. So, as I've been saying for donkey's ages, read terms and conditions and privacy policies. I know they're boring, but you find little gems like that. Now, they may have overlooked updating this privacy policy in the same way that when you go to various supermarkets and other places, you still see on the ground stickers that say keep 2 meters apart.
Yeah,
and no one's bothered to remove them.
No.
Maybe it's the same thing with this policy here. I don't really know. But this will give you an idea that for such guest registers, you may not use a sign-in app, or you may fake doing so or whatever. But then even if you pay with cash and then you scan or log in whatever to their coffee stamp platform, you've just created a digital trace, the fact that you were there. And if you're not supposed to be there because of whatever reason they've come up with, well,
they can show that you were. Yeah,
they can show that you were, and you're on the guest register.
I would like to think that they've just been a bit tardy and not updated, you know, terms and conditions, whatever you call them.
But at the same time, they were there in the first place.
Yeah, they were colluding with the state.
Yes. So even if, like I say, if you didn't use that COVID Tracer app, or you know, you wrote down something on the paper version, and you made up fake information, and then you go and scan in to get your points or whatever, your rewards for going to have a coffee, doesn't matter. One thing I found interesting looking at the Woolworths privacy policy here, they say, now where did I put that? Oh yes. On their website, they make a point of saying, no, we do not link payment information with your everyday rewards cards, even when both cards are swiped in the same transaction. I could not find any similar statement on New World's website in their privacy policies or anything like that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really matter, because when you scan your everyday rewards cards, they still see all the things that you've purchased. And the comment about how much you get back from New World, on their website it says with a $25 qualifying spend, you get 0.185 air points and 1 flybys points. And the thing with flybys is that that's coming to an end. I think it was October the 31st is the date.
That. Yep.
That's the date by which you can stop accumulating points. And then you've got until 11:59 p.m. December 31st and order to spend it.
It's not really a reward as such, is it?
Well,
it's pathetic,
it's not.
Really.
It is, because as Consumer New Zealand point out, that when you're making a purchase with one of these cards and you're getting a perceived benefit of discount, it's quite likely that that same product is being sold somewhere else for cheaper, and you don't need a card in order to buy it.
So the margin is built in, baked in, so no one loses anything at the other end. Yet you can call it a reward. Brilliant.
It's a perceived reward. And then when it comes to fuel companies, Zed have a lot of information on you, and they state that we will only share your personal information where we believe this is appropriate to help us with any of the purposes outlined above. We will take reasonable steps to ensure those recipients do not use that personal information for any other purpose. Oh, yeah. So how does that work out in practice? And the AA Smart Fuel also shares personally identifiable information with Woolworths, and where they participate in their everyday rewards scheme. And they say they have non-identifiable high-level program information with most of their partners.
Most? Okay. Or do they? Well, that's okay then.
You can sleep well at night now. Consumer New Zealand also did an analysis of some of the privacy statements that several of the companies, now I think it was fuel companies, where did I put that? I had that report lying around. And they've done an analysis whereby there's how many words in it, there's the estimated reading time and the reading ease. And the reading ease is the Flash Reading Ease Test score, which is calculated on the average number of words in a sentence and the average number of syllables in each word. So if we were to take the Air New Zealand Air Points, the terms and conditions has 12,881 words, estimated reading time of 64 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to sit down and we're going to read all that, yeah.
And then when you finish that, you'll spend 82 minutes reading Air New Zealand's privacy policy of 17,814 words. That's the longest one that they report. They also show about Z Energy. There's the Pack and Save Sticky Club, the New York Club Card, the Mobile Smiles Card, the Everyday Card, and AO Smart Fuel. It's mind-blowing. Personally speaking, it's a game that I just can't be bothered playing.
It's a mugs game.
It's a mugs game. It's being said that the New World Club Card and Woolworths Everyday Card have 1.6 million members, and the Consumer New Zealand poll of 1,650 supporters found that 84% had a loyalty card.
All right, are we done?
I think that's it for another Tuesday.
All right, thank you, Stephen. And if people want to get in contact, 2057 text, inbox at realitycheck.radio, email, they'll get to Stephen and he will answer them best he can. Though some of them, Stephen, take a bit of going away and finding things out, right? So
they do. They take time to chip away and pull things apart. And
yeah. All right, we'll see you next Tuesday. Thanks.
Sounds good. See you then.
Loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it. And right now, they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.